Hello, and welcome to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, which is located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. Our speaker is Jim Thomas, who is a member of our congregation. The title of this message is Worship Music, and is the third and final part of a short series on the subject of worship.
Good evening. Well, if you see me hunting around here, I'm looking for some of my notes. I left probably about two-thirds of them home. Tried to get into the computer to get them, and I can't get into that part of the computer, so we're going to wing a good deal of this. Okay, just give me a half a second here to pull myself together. We have been dealing with the subject of worship. The first session was Who is God? Last Sunday it was What is Worship? And tonight it's going to be more of an informal, basically since I don't have most of my notes with me, it's going to be very informal, presentation of some of the ins and outs of contemporary worship music. If we're going to worship, and much of our worship is music, we need to know what is pleasing to God and what isn't. I'll be honest with you, a lot of this is subjective. There's nothing in Scripture that I can see that draws a hard, fast line that says, well, you know, this timing is okay and this timing isn't, or this instrument's okay and this instrument isn't, or this type of beat is okay and no beat's better. Or I don't see that. But there is a little bit of sanctified common sense that I think we should use. And I'm sure there's going to be some people who disagree with me. And that's okay. You have to forgive me a little bit. One of the things I did before I left, and if you know me, you understand, I like coffee. I'm a coffee aficionado. And I roast my own coffee. I get it from an outfit out in California. And I go through everything. I weigh it out. I get the temperature of the water just right. And 90% of coffee I drink, I do in a French press. If you have any idea what that is, it's you pour the coffee in and then you pour the hot water on top of it and it stays in contact with the coffee for the whole, I brew it for 4 minutes. Well, I made the mistake of forgetting about it and went upstairs and did a few things, and when I came back, that was strong coffee. So if I start speaking in tongues, you'll know what's going on here. Let's start out with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this evening in the precious name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather together to praise your name, to study your word, and just to sing your praises, Father. We thank you that at least at this point in time, we still have the freedom to do this. Let us make the best of it. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll start with hymn number 186.
Amen.
were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Great words, great words. I want to take note of the words of some of these songs as we get into a little bit on the subject of contemporary worship music. Next one would be Wonderful Grace of Jesus, hymn number 702. I look down here, you probably figured that I have this microphone on, and when it's green, I'm live. When it's amber, it's working, but I'm not live. When it's off, it's off. And the first song I almost started singing when it was green. And that would have cleared this place out pretty quick. God's grace, what a wonderful word. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And it also goes on to say that that grace comes from God. God is the author of our salvation. Yes, we have to respond. We sure do. You can't be saved without responding, but he gives the response. How much more gracious can you be to hell-bent sinners like us? One last song, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, hymn number 218. And remember, we went through a little bit Sunday morning. Let's sing with all our might. That with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall. will join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. That's what this is all about. The whole subject of worship is the falling down at Jesus' feet. I did try to pick songs that exalted him. Everything we do should be in the name of Jesus Christ. When we preach, it should be in the name of Jesus Christ. When we worship, it should be in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is before all, above all, behind all, under all, through all. It was mentioned to me on Sunday that I didn't mention the fear of God. I kind of alluded to it a little bit, but that's another area of worship that's extremely important. The fear of God. We don't take God lightly. I don't know how many times I've heard people refer to him as the man upstairs, my friend, my co-pilot. That doesn't show any reverence or fear of God. There could be a whole sermon on the fear of God. It could probably be a series of sermons on the fear of God. Just very quickly, if you go back into the Old Testament and the New Testament too, when you see the prophets come face to face with the pre-incarnate Christ, they're gripped with fear. Isaiah was gripped with fear. They all were. Peter, even when he realized who Christ was, and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." We don't come into the presence of God as buddy-buddy. He is God. He is the creator of the universe. He is the creator of us. He holds the universe and us together. All he would have to do would be to think the thought, and we would be spread into billions of atoms scattered across the universe, and our souls would be in hell. That's all it would take. We're only one breath away from the grave, one heartbeat away from the grave. And to become overly familiar with God, I don't think is a good idea. Now, the scriptures do say that he is our friend, and we need to treat him as a friend, not a buddy. And he is also our Lord, and we need to treat him as Lord. I know in my life, I've been taken to the woodshed I don't know how many times. I think I've mentioned before, I'm a late bloomer in the area of sanctification. And I have a fear of being taken to the woodshed again. I know it's coming because I know me. But it's not something I look forward to. I've been there enough, and I have a certain reverential fear of that happening, and I think that we need to come to grips with that today. And this kind of plays a little bit into the subject for tonight. A little testimony on my part. Probably, was it 7 years ago maybe, I was under the impression that the best thing that we could do in the church was to take the hymnal, throw it in a wastebasket, go with contemporary music, much more to my liking. I identified with the words a lot more. And obviously, I was stupid. But I went to a church in Muncie, and they had a worship team, which I thought was pretty neat. They had drums up there, and I, oh, cool, man, drums. I like that. And I went there for 2 Sundays. And the second Sunday I went there, I looked over, and there was a hymnal sitting on one of the chairs. And all of a sudden it hit me like a ton of bricks. We haven't even opened that thing up. And I'm listening to the words of many of these songs, many of these choruses, and they just didn't have it. This wasn't something that hit me slowly. It hit me like a ton of bricks all of a sudden that this is really drivel. I started thinking of some of the words of some of the hymns. And boy, this is not "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God" by any stretch of the imagination, or "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing." And looking at the worship group, and I heard somebody describe it one time, this isn't original with me, but many of them look like a garbage truck took a turn too fast. And there they are, up there leading the singing. And I'm not one that says you have to wear a suit and tie in church. I do think that when you come into the presence of God for worship, you should dress appropriately. if the President of the United States were to walk in, or we were going to meet the President of the United States, we wouldn't come in with cut-up jeans and flip-flops. And I've been in churches where the Sunday evening service, the pastor stands there in jeans and flip-flops. The person leading the singing will come out with torn-up jeans and a beat-up T-shirt with something written on the back. And I had real problems with that. Well, since this epiphany that I had several years back, I started studying a little bit about worship music. Now, I'm not going to get into the beat. I don't know anything about music, to be honest with you. I don't know one note from another. I look at some of these hymns and I think, well, I want something here that's a little quicker. I don't know. Four is quicker than three. So maybe I'll pick something that's 4-4. That's really all I know about music. I can't sing a note, but I do know a little bit about the words. And our music needs to glorify God. I was going to read rather extensively from a letter that I sent to one of the churches that I left because of the worship music. Basically, I'll try to sum it up in that we prepare for everything we do. We should. If you're going to the doctor's office, you get prepared for it. If you're going into surgery, you prepare for it. You don't want to come in and have somebody start carving you up without being prepared for it. We go to work or we go to school, we're prepared for it. We dress appropriately and we're ready to go. There was a worship song. Let me see, I think I do have the words to it here. Come, now is the time to worship. This is the one that really, really got to me. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come just as you are to worship. Come just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. For one thing, it doesn't worship. It talks about it, but it doesn't worship. The other thing is, you do not want to come as you are to worship. You don't want to come without your heart being prepared. Do you want to come to the communion table not prepared? In Corinthians, it says that many are asleep because they've taken of the table the elements unworthily. We don't want to come as we are. As I mentioned, we prepare for everything we do. We need to prepare for worship. One of the problems I have, and my wife will attest to this, we might even hear an amen from her, is I tend to stay up late. Friday nights and Saturday nights, it's not uncommon for me to get to bed at 3 or 4 in the morning because I'm up having a good time. That is not preparing for worship on Sunday. If I stay up till 3 o'clock Saturday night, I cannot worship properly Sunday. I am not prepared. In the days of the Puritans, and even quite a bit after that, people would prepare for worship on Saturday evening. They'd get their clothes ready. The woman would prepare as much of the meal as she could so she didn't have to slave over the oven and all that kind of thing on Sunday any more than was needed. People wouldn't dream of stopping off at the mall or going to Kmart. Maybe it wasn't a Kmart or a mall, but and I'm not going to bring up whether these things are right or not. I'm just saying they didn't do it. Everything was geared to worship. Quite often the man at the house would get out his Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. And they might be the same clothes every Sunday or every other Sunday, but he got them out, made sure everything was right, shined his shoes, and was ready to go, ready to worship. We don't do that now. There's many churches will have a Saturday evening worship service for those who have things to do on Sunday. They don't want to take the time. I've even heard of drive-up worship services where you can take a speaker, put it in your car, listen to a preacher preach some... I don't know what he's going to preach in a service like that, but I don't think it's going to be anything that's going to upset the apple cart, anything that's going to be convicting. Let's quickly turn to... let's go to Genesis chapter 4. And as I said, this is more of a summary more of a discussion. The only difference between this and a regular discussion is I'm the only one who gets to talk. So. Genesis chapter 4, we'll start with verse 3. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou dost well, thou shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. There's also a verse in Hebrews. Does anybody know where it is? That's in my notes where it talks about Cain and Abel. Basically, it said that Abel brought a sacrifice by faith, and Cain, there's somewhere around Hebrews 11:4, okay. Right. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Abel was prepared. Abel came to worship God prepared and obedient. Cain did not. We find in the scripture where it talks about Nadab and Abihu, that they were Aaron's two sons who were consumed by fire from the altar because they offered strange fire to the Lord. It may be that they were drunk. We don't know, but if they were drunk, they definitely were not prepared to worship. And we can go on, Ananias and Sapphira, who held back part of the offering and lied to the Holy Spirit. By the way, you don't lie to a power. You lie to a person. You get a Jehovah's Witness come to your door and say that's the Holy Spirit is nothing but a power. We don't lie to a power. That's an aside. We'll get off of that. But they didn't come prepared. Their hearts were not right before God, and they were killed. Let's go to Malachi. And we'll just keep our finger there. I'm not going to read into that yet. It'd be Malachi around chapter 1. We do not offer to God when we pick a lot of the worship choruses. Let's put it that way. A lot of the contemporary music is very, very thin. It's more about I, me, we, than it is about God. I did remember to bring a couple sets of lyrics here. One of them is, we've come to worship you. We've come to worship you, Lord. We've come to worship you. We've come to bow down before you. Lord, we've come to bow to you. We will honor your name, Jesus. We will trust in your word. Let your glory shine in our lives. May your kingdom come. We raise our hands to you, Lord. We raise our hands to you. We give our hearts to you, Lord. We give our hearts to you. There is no one beside you, Jesus. There is no one beside you. We've come together to praise your name. May you reign in us. We're humbled before you, Lord. We are nothing without you. Your death purchased our souls. Lord, your life freed us from sin. We've come to worship you, Lord. We've come to worship you. We've come to bow before you, Lord. We've come to bow before you. We will honor your name, Jesus. We will trust in your word. Let your glory shine in our lives. May your kingdom come. There is very, very little worship there. If anything is worshiped, it's we, me. How many times is the word we used there as opposed to the word Lord, God, or Jesus? That's one of the problems with much of the music now. There's another one. It's called I Will Celebrate. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing to him a new song. Repeat. I will praise him. I will sing to him a new song. Repeat that. When the Spirit of the Lord moves in my heart, I will sing like David sang. Repeat that. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing like David sang. Repeat that line. I will dance like David danced. I will pray like David prayed. There's no worship of the Lord there. There's no worship in that song at all, other than I, me. We have come to worship God. We need to get ourselves out of the picture. The only thing that I do is to worship. That's it. My focus is on God. My focus is on His attributes. As I mentioned the first time, you never see in Scripture, I don't want to say never, but I don't know of any place in Scripture where you see a mention of God without a mention of His attributes, or at least one or two of them. Almighty. God Almighty. Lord Almighty. Even that. When the songs magnify the person singing the song, it is not worship to God. Now, as we look a little further into this, I remember sitting in a church one time. I started writing down some of the phrases and some of the words that are found in the hymns that aren't found in contemporary Christian music, by and large. Now, there may be an exception here and there. Now, again, let me, when I say contemporary Christian music, I am not talking about contemporary hymns. There are some very good contemporary hymns, very good. James Boyce wrote a number of them, Philip Ryken, Eric Alexander, and there's others. Pretty much guaranteed that the words are going to be sound. But when I talk about contemporary Christian music, I'm talking mainly about praise choruses and the drivel that you find out there, where the worship is not so much geared to God, but it's dumbed down and it's geared to me. We have dumbed down just about everything in our society today. I work in a school district, and there's a lot of hoopla about how well the kids are doing. And I'll tell you what, if you gave the teachers the tests that the kids took 90 years ago, I don't know if any of them would pass. I know I wouldn't. I'm not a teacher, but I know I wouldn't, let alone the kids. Well, we can look and say, oh, we're doing great. We're passing these tests. And well, you keep dumbing down the tests. Our worship has been dumbed down. Part of it, and here I go, is our being married to the blasted television set. We are not given any clue as to how to think. We're told what to think. And I'm not saying that everybody should throw their TV out. What I am saying is, if you're in the position where you say, well, I don't know how I get by without my TV, well, then maybe you ought to throw it out and do without it, because you can get by. We've not had TV for, I don't know, 13, 14 years. We get by fine. It's been a long time. Well, you know, we rent tapes or DVDs, but that's it. We don't have anything coming in. It's wonderful. I get to think. I get to read. I get to interact with my wife. I'm a real pervert. That's all I can say. That is so much against our society today, it's pathetic. Our kids aren't taught to think. Everything is dumbed down. Now, I'm not against video games. I've been known to play one or two myself. But there comes a point in time where you've got to put that away. You've got to come down. You've got to think. You've got to spend time with the family. You've got to spend time in His Word. You've got to spend time in prayer. And you can't do that sitting in front of the television set. And one of the worst things on television is some of the Christian programs. You can look at the worldly stuff out there and say, that's worldly. You can tell your children, well, that's, you know, we don't believe in that. That's the world's perspective. But boy, you come up and put TBN or some of these others on there. What do you tell your kids? You talk about something that's dumbed down. That is, I don't even want to say it's Christianity dumbed down. I'm not sure what it is, but it's dumbed down. And we need to wake up. We need to quit using the television as a babysitter. And how did I get on this from worship music? The idea is, everything in our society today is dumbed down. People do not want to turn to Martin Luther and sing A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Oh my, What a beautiful hymn. What words. What power. Beats "Come As You Are" to worship. Okay, back to some of the words or phrases not found in contemporary Christian music. Like I said, again, there may be a few exceptions here. The word sin isn't found. Nothing negative is found in contemporary Christian praise music. Repentance, pardoning grace, God hath sought. Guilt. Oh my, we don't want to tell anybody they're guilty of sin. Fear. We don't want anything to do with fear. Contemporary Christian music would not sell today if you mentioned fear, sin, guilt, repentance. I might buy it, but nobody else would, it seems. Blood-stained cross. Blood-sealed pardon. Even the word pardon by itself, you're not going to find too much of. What is Christianity without our pardon? We are pardoned. Marvelous word. Savior's blood. Oh, we don't want to hear about blood today. Who caused his pain? You can't have pain in a song today. Amazing love. Yeah, you might hear something akin to that, but not quite that way. Died for me. The immortal dies. Sound the depths of love. 'Tis mercy all. Well, everything's fine. We're okay. Why would we need mercy? That's the way Christianity has been dumbed down. Left his father's throne, humbled himself. Humbling is not something you hear much of today. Your own personal view of yourself. It's got to be positive. For what? I'm nothing but a wretched worm saved by the grace of God. I'm not self-sufficient. I don't have a great self-image other than the fact that I know God loves me. God created me. God saved me. So I must be worth something to him. I give up in trying to figure out what, but he knows better than I do. Humbled himself, bled for all, chosen race. We can't have anything chosen. It found out me, his love. Today we find him. He's the one that's lost, not us. We find God. That's not the way it is. That's not the biblical truth. He found me. I was lost, not him. He knew where he was all the time. I remember one time I asked my father, you have to understand, my father was a drill sergeant in the Marines in the Second World War. And he also was in the conflict, so he had a certain outlook on life. And I went through this thing. This was about 1968 or so. Well, Dad, I just want to know who I am. You got a driver's license, don't you, boy? Yeah, I think it's even got your picture on it. There's actually some wisdom to that. Everybody is trying to find themselves. No, it found out me. My spirit lay fast bound in sin. My chains fell off. Mercy immense and free. No condemnation. I dread. We can't dread anything today. Everything's got to be positive and uplifting. Clothed in righteousness. Hell. Now there's one. Can't say that today. Unless you're asked to go there after church by somebody. Judgment. Death. Suffering. Sacrifices. Through his merit. Sin's bond severed. Christ has bruised the serpent's head. Death no longer. Death's prison. Fountain filled with blood. Oh my. Vile. I was vile. And without Christ this second, I'd be vile. Don't laugh. You're all in the same boat. Flowing wounds supply. Redeeming love till I die. We don't want to talk about death. Power to save. Lay silent in the grave. Lisping, stammering tongue. Dying lamb. Ransom church. Sorrow's load. Sins I cover. Pining sadness. can't have that in contemporary music today. There's nothing about pining or sadness. Warning, cry, obey. The whole idea of obedience today is pressed down. How do you worship God? One of the best ways to worship God is by being obedient. And that's our worship day in, day out. That's not gathered corporate worship here. That's our worship across the board, being obedient. And I'll tell you what, that's where you're going to have problems. Warning, cry, obey, make ye straight, holy. Now there's one. We went over a little bit about God's holiness the other week. You won't hear much about that, because when we see God as holy, we see ourselves as we are. Not as we're pumped up to think we are. We're told we're just wonderful beings, we're wonderful in school, that's pumped into somebody. Your self-image, you're a unique individual, you're something special. You're special. And you'll find this in Christian worship music too. The same thing. You find this in Christian churches today. How can you worship God when you're told that you're special, you're significant, and that there is a point. There is some truth to that, because God loves us. Christ saved us. So there is something special there. But as far as my intrinsic value of my own, I have none. I have none. I'm fodder for the fires of hell. And it's like, I like to say, the only thing I did bring something to my salvation. People say, you didn't bring anything to yourself. Oh, I did. I brought my sin. That's it. That's all I brought. That's all I contributed. His word is never broken. Offer only the best in worship. Let's go to Malachi, chapter 1, verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? You have to read this with a little bit of passion. You just can't read it as flat words on a page. When we offer in worship such drivel as some of this, are we not offering to God what is polluted, what is of less than the best? Today, what costs us nothing. Matter of fact, we offer God what we like to sing. We don't care if it says anything or not. That is the state of the church today, by and large. That is the state of much of contemporary Christian music. And again, I'm not going to get into the music itself so much, but I'll tell you one thing. If you stand up here to worship, and Bob were to come up here and have a calliope and play Ferris wheel music, you'd know right away that this is not worship music. The music would speak before anyone opened their mouth. And when the music is too harsh, too contemporary, I've heard Christian music that, you know, I grew up with the Beach Boys and the Four Seasons and all that, which is really pretty mild, and I like that stuff. Well, I'll tell you, some of the stuff right now is just the same as taking your fingernail and going down the blackboard with it, to me. And probably some of the stuff I like would be the same to you. I don't think there's a place for that in the church. Again, I'm rambling here, but I listen to some contemporary music. I pick and choose the music with the words carefully. But I would never want to bring it into the corporate worship service. I would have a fit if somebody did. That's not the place for it. We are here to honor God. We've set this apart. We've sanctified ourselves unto the worship of God. Let's worship God. Malachi goes on here in chapter 2. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast, and one shall take you away with it. I'll tell you, that's pretty explicit. The sacrifices, when they were killed, the entrails were taken out and the dung was taken out with it. The Lord says here, I'm going to smear that on your faces of the priest and carry them out with it. Why? Because they are not giving God his due. Again, I hate to say this, and there's probably people who are going to listen to this on the internet. You are a blessed congregation. You really are. You've been well taught. But there are people that are hearing this who are going to say, oh, man, what's wrong with some of these songs? And I just started to pastor in a church, and one of the things I want to do is get people moved into contemporary music and get rid of a lot of those old hymns. How arrogant. How arrogant a statement that is. If someone were to come into a church where they're singing the hymns, who are they to change the music to suit themselves? Who do you think you are? That is supreme arrogance. Well, we got to get the young people in here. Goes, the strength of the church is in the young people. No, it's not. The strength in the church is in the older saints. You people are the ones with the wisdom. It's the young people that don't know which direction they're going. The strength of the church is in the older saints. I'm sorry. Some of the enthusiasm might be in the young people. But what good is enthusiasm if it's going off in all different directions at once? So, bring it down to this. What would be criteria for worship music? Is it biblical? Is one. Does it worship God or I or me or we, etc., or us? Is it singable? There's some music. It just is not really singable. Is it doctrinally dense? Is there biblical doctrine in the music? We talk about the doctrinal ignorance of people in the church today, and I'll tell you, it is rife. But when you take the time, the worship time that is devoted to hymns or the singing, and you put drivel in there, you're not doing anything to educate the people. Have something that's doctrinally dense. Music has a wonderful way of taking the words and burying them down into you. I can sing music I don't want to sing, but I know lyrics to songs that I haven't heard since 1968, but I remember the tune, and the words come along with me, or come along with it. That's what we need in the church, is, and we have it here. We're blessed. We have it here. But there's many churches that don't. Does it say anything? Does it talk about worship and not worship? Does it play on the emotions? And I've mentioned before, we are emotional beings. If we worship, I think there will be times when we get a little bit emotional, but that's not what we play to. That has nothing to do with whether it was a good worship experience or not. Well, I was emotional. I cried. Oh, that was a good worship. No, you were emotional and you cried. That may be all that means. What were the words to the song? If there was no depth to it, I'm sorry. It wasn't worship that did that. Does it honor Christ? Is it Christocentric? Oh my. You know some of the choruses that I read the words to there. It's not Christocentric, it's me-centric. Does it glorify God? Same thing. Does it glorify God, or am I extolling my virtues and that I do this, I do that, and the other thing? Sometimes I get sick and tired of extolling my virtues because I don't really have any. I had my wife thinking I was perfect for a while, but she came around. Does it glorify God? Does it have weight and majesty, or is it light and frivolous? The words to some of the songs I just read to you, they're light and frivolous. A mighty fortress is our God. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Have weight and majesty. Does it entertain or does it minister? Is it the best? Are the praise choruses better or are the hymns by and large better? I think to ask the question answers it. Is it offered through Christ? Is it spirit and truth? Trinitarian? Does it talk about the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? No, not all the good hymns are, but oh, there's a lot of them. Does it proclaim His holiness? This is something you won't find in too many of the praise choruses or contemporary Christian music, or maybe one or two. I think I've heard one or two. That wouldn't be bad, but we back away from the holiness of God as fast as we can today. Okay. I hope that was at least a little bit helpful. The whole little mini-series here on worship, it's something that's very often overlooked in the church, and we need to get back on track with it. We come to worship God. So, well, I can worship on the golf course. Well, yeah, you probably could, but it's kind of hard to do it with golf clubs in your hand, especially when you're being disobedient by forsaking the assembling together of the saints. I don't think you can worship too good on the golf course on a Sunday instead of going to church. Being in the house of the Lord. Now, I understand, you know, there's some problems with saying the house of the Lord. God doesn't live here. But this is a sanctified place because we have sanctified it. My assumption is. I've been told over and over again, well, there's nothing sanctified about this church. Well, did you ever dedicate the church? Did you say that this church was for the worship of God? Then it's sanctified. It's set aside for that. That's where we need to be. Our Father, we come to you again in Jesus' name and thank you for the time that we've had together. I hope, Lord, that this was encouraging. I know that where there is abundance of words, transgression is unavoidable, and I'm sure somewhere along the line here I've transgressed, and I would just ask that this would be stricken from the memory of anyone listening. Lord, we want to worship you. We want to be obedient. We want to give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.